Blog Talk Radio.
January 5th, 2015. This is my first show of the new year. Happy about that, and I want to get off to a great start. Tonight, we're going to be talking sports. And as mentioned, the title of this particular program, Are You Not Entertained? The Atlanta Hawks Are For Real. So if you're an NBA fan, this is a show for you. If you're an Atlanta Hawk fan, this is even a better show for you. Heads up, the score is 40-36 Clippers at the moment. That score might or it may not be correct depending on how fast my computer refreshes, but I'll keep you up on the score for those who might not even be watching but are able to listen. I know there might be some people at work and trying to sneak away a little bit. So I appreciate all who are listening. Let me go through the show episode info. Over the past 3 years, the Atlanta Hawks have undergone a major transformation. Money and production didn't translate with Joe Johnson and Marvin Williams, so they were removed from the team. Josh Smith wasn't traded. His contract ran out, and he signed with another team, which also couldn't trade him, and they waived him, in which he signed with another team that, at the moment, you never know, he might get cut. Players has improved tremendously. In 2013, the Atlanta Hawks hired a new coach, a pupil of Popovich in San Antonio. Despite losing their top player and many others for a total of 180 games to injuries, Hawks made the playoffs for the seventh straight year and almost beat the then number one seed, Indiana Pacers. So far this year, the Hawks are leaders in the Eastern Conference and Southeast Division. They have the best winning percentage against teams over 500 in the NBA. They have one of the best offenses and defenses in the NBA. They have one of the best home and road records in the NBA, yet people still do not want to count them as legitimate, despite beating, handling, other so-called legit teams. Why is this? That will be the main topic tonight. So if you are an NBA fan of another team, definitely call in and speak on this. But definitely if you're an Atlanta Hawk fan, you're an Atlanta resident, call in 646-652-4479. You can also enter into the chat room, which is up. If you're listening online on your computer, laptop, or a tablet device, hopefully you'll get a few callers. But to speak on tonight's topic, again, let me throw a score in there. If I can, I'll hit refresh. Clippers are leading. Still same score. Might be a timeout. 40-36 on the road. They're in Clipperland. The Atlanta Hawks, this has been their best start in a long time. I believe Jamal of Atlanta Hawks Nation Facebook fan page mentioned haven't had a start like this since the season they traded Dominique Wilkins. That's saying something for a franchise that's been around for as long as it has. So despite all of those things I just rattled off in regards to the team's record and percentages and all that kind of good stuff, why is it that the Atlanta Hawks still can't get respect? They're number one in the power rankings for a lot of the news organizations out there. Number one. And yet still there are some fans out there, just maybe they're casual fans or whatever you want to call them, they still believe the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to win it all, even though they just got trounced by the Philadelphia 76ers tonight. Okay? 76ers beat them. And then they just traded Dion Waiters, apparently, to get J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert from the New York Knicks to try to fix their immediate problems. I'll talk about that team another time. So, again, why are the Atlanta Hawks looked at as a team to not be taken seriously for this season, 2014-2015? Is it because of the past? And that's valid to a point, I believe. The team has not ever gotten to an Eastern Conference final, so that would definitely give you speculation, right? The team hasn't won a championship in the modern era, right? They've had some bad teams. But there's other franchises that have had bad teams and not gotten to championship games and things of that nature, but they're not looked the same as the Hawks are in the same light. Why is that? Why do you think that is? Is it an ownership thing? Is it a player thing? Is it a coach thing? You know, I would like to hear from you, the caller. If you're an NBA fan of the Hawks or you're an NBA fan in general, 646-652-4479 if you're listening. I know most of y'all are probably watching the game. It's 43-36, it says here, on NBA.com. I'm pretty sure that can't be the right score. But I'll keep you updated as the night goes on. This is a 30-minute show, so it won't be too long. Why are the Hawks looked at as uncontenders, even though they lead in almost all categories to be the number one seed right now? They have a game and a half lead, I believe, if I hit the standings, for the number one seed. So they would have to lose a few in a row. Actually, it's a one-game lead right now. Well, it depends on what they do tonight. If they win tonight, they're a game and a half up on Chicago, maybe two games up on Toronto, however that works, right? Number one in the Southeast Division. Got breathing room there. Hawks have not had a losing streak since they were 5-5. Think about that. Okay? Meanwhile, again, you have teams like Toronto that have lost three in a row. Washington, they've gone 5-5 in their last 10. No one's breaking down the doors right now. Those top teams that were on top, Toronto is 3. Washington is 4 now. Chicago has come all the way up to claim the number 2 spot. Meanwhile, Brooklyn has spent all that money. They're 16-18. They've lost 2 in a row. Miami, they're basically self-destructing. They're 15-20. And they're barely in that eighth spot because now Indiana's playing better. Orlando is okay. Meanwhile, you have the Milwaukee Bucks. They're in sixth. They're a game out of fifth place right now. Meanwhile, you still have people who would not want to situate Atlanta as a contender despite what everybody is seeing on paper and then seeing in real life. And I just want to get an idea of why do you believe that is. If you're an Atlanta Hawks fan, I really would like to hear your opinion. 646-652-4479. But besides that, what do you think of the season thus far? The other part of this is the Atlanta Hawks are the best team in the East and one of the best teams in the NBA. What do you think about that? How do you feel from last year to this year, from the last 4 years? How do you feel about this Atlanta Hawks team as opposed to the past 5 or 6 years? What do you think of the future with the franchise? Either immediate as far as getting to the playoffs. It's a 2-point game now, 46-44 Clippers. How do you think fare against the teams in the East going from the first round to the second round, possible Eastern Conference championship? And let's go all the way. What about the finals? Who would they match up well against, or does it matter? Who would they match up in the West with to give them the best shot of winning? I say it don't matter because they can match up with anybody. They're proven that. They just beat Portland in Portland. The only top Western Conference team they haven't played yet is Golden State. I don't think that's going to happen until next month, unfortunately. They do play Memphis on Wednesday, but Memphis hasn't been playing that hot either lately now. Okay? They beat the Knicks. Yes, well, today. It's today, yeah. 105-83, but everybody beats the Knicks. Who cares, right? And that was at home. So Memphis will be coming on the road on Wednesday night. But I would definitely like to see how they play against Golden State. They have similar styles to a point. Yes, they have their shooters. But, again, our defense has been so staunch. I think that's going to get negated personally. But we'll have to see. But right now, the Atlanta Hawks are playing the best basketball, the most consistent basketball in the NBA, and they have people where you can't focus on one particular player to, quote-unquote, shut them out, shut them down. You know, for the Clippers, if Blake Griffin doesn't have a great game or Chris Paul has a bad game and they're just relying on Jamal to just hit threes all day, they're not going to win. That's why they got beat in Atlanta a few weeks ago. Okay, 646-652-4479 is the number to call in. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to come back. I'm going to hit up some notes and scores and some info that I'm looking at. I'm going to talk about the trade a little bit more. Cavaliers trading to get J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert. I'm going to talk about the Knicks a little bit. It's halftime, 46-44 officially, so Hawks are in that game. I'm going to be right back. This is Chris, IMTM Worldwide Radio. IMTN Worldwide Radio. I am back. That was Never Break from Chris Pritham of Illiteracy. He's one-fourth of the group Illiteracy. Definitely check them out. Their website is ill-it.com. Check them out. If you are recording artists of any type or you just need music, that's where you need to go. Some of the credits include Raekwon. You know of him from the Wu-Tang Clan, Lloyd Banks. You've heard of him, I'm pretty sure. Fred the Godson, Glasses Malone, and Growing. They also actually have licensing credits with Viacom and ESPN. So if you are talking music, let's do something about it. That is Chris Pritham. You can check him out on Twitter at CHRISP as in Paul, RYTHM, Prism. Pretty cool name. And again, that website is illit.com, ILL-IT.com, Illit Records, that's the company. Check them out. So, the Cleveland Cavaliers traded Dion Waiters because, you know, he couldn't get the ball, of course. And he traded it for J.R. Smith. Now, when I saw that, actually, I heard it. Where did I hear? I heard it coming home on the radio, and I almost couldn't believe it. Then they said Shumpert was in the deal, too. So I was like, okay, this makes sense on the basis of if they're looking for immediate need, they're trading for a combination of almost like a guard, small forward type of a deal. And then I thought about it on the scoring side. Will that really help Cleveland? Is that really their issue? And it's not. It's actually defense. Now, Shumpert, of course, does play defense. Right now, I don't know if he's still hurt or not. I'll have to check that out. But we all know JR doesn't play any defense. And we all know he also likes to shoot out. So will that work in the aspect of people getting the ball and needing the ball, who's going to be on the court at a particular time between LeBron, JR, Kyrie, and Kevin Love? Probably not all going to be on the floor, but if they are, how's that even really going to work if it doesn't work now when they were all in there? Defense is their issue. They don't stop anybody. Just for the fact, let me go back and look at what this score was. Let's see. Monday finals. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, well, they only lost by 3 points, 95 and 92. I guess that's okay this time around. But they got blown out by Detroit, though, not too many nights ago. And they've gotten beat twice now by the Atlanta Hawks, blown out both times. They don't play defense, and they haven't played defense all year. So I don't know if that really is going to fix the problem. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, they had to do something to try to address it to not fall out the playoff picture at this point. Because, again, let's go to those standings again. They are currently 19-16, okay? They're currently 7 games out of the conference. They are, let's see, they're only 11-8 at home. They're 8-8 on the road. Let me check out their division. Cleveland Cavaliers are 6 games out of they're not going to catch Chicago unless something – I mean, even when LeBron comes back, I guess that's why they did it. They're scared about falling so far behind because Milwaukee's right behind them. They're only a game out. The Milwaukee Bucks, yes. That young team is about to overlap the Cleveland Cavaliers because they do still have Kyrie and they do still have Kevin Love. I guess that's my whole point. The whole thing was really messed up from the beginning in getting a player to add to a team that had lost so much the year before because they don't like to pass the ball and they don't play defense, and you add another player that doesn't really play defense. He got a lot of those stats because of the team that he was on. He's a good player, don't get me wrong, but we've kind of seen the result of it. And then Kyrie went through his phase of not wanting to really pass that much, and when he wants to shoot, he's going to shoot. Like I said, the dynamic is wrong. The players are wrong. They have no bench, which is the biggest issue. They have nothing. If those guys don't do anything, they're going to get beat. That's just plain and simple. So Iman definitely brings an attitude in regards to defense. Maybe he takes the place of the Matrix and put the Matrix on the bench. That would deepen them. I think that would be a good move. But as far as JR, I just don't see how that's going to work. I really don't. I mean, I just don't see it. So I just had to throw that out there a little bit. As far as the rest of the East goes, DeRozan is going to be coming back to Toronto soon. So we'll see how that changes things. We know Noah is back in Chicago, so we'll see how that goes. Indiana is playing a little bit better. Detroit is playing like monsters since getting rid of Josh Smith. And I think all of us kind of felt that was going to happen. I still don't believe it makes Houston really that much better of a team. They lost tonight, so, you know, go figure. So let's get back to the Atlanta Hawks. Are you not entertained? The Atlanta Hawks are for real. I said last year that the Atlanta Hawks, if they hadn't have been hurt, they would have done so much better. When any franchise, you know, the regular season loses 180 games to injuries, that's a lot of players being hurt and not in the lineup on a regular basis. And our bench was not that strong last year because Lou underachieved. You had a center in Aon who didn't do anything. They benched him eventually. When you get benched, you're pretty bad, okay? You had some other players that really just weren't, you know, that productive either. But still, they made the playoffs, and they should have won Game 6 against Indiana, and they didn't, made mistakes, and then they lost Game 7. Look what has happened with them bringing back basically the same team, removing the unproductive players on the bench, coming back with everybody with the additions of Cephalosha, Bazemore, and a rookie who hasn't played yet. That's the only three additions to the team, except for Al Horford. He's the biggest return to the team, and he's already signed. They didn't have to sign nobody, trade for anybody. Him being back is part of this turnaround. A whole offseason, of them getting that system together, playing together. A system that is working very, very well. But then really is the defense. Last year, the Hawks were one of the top teams in offense last year. They unfortunately gave up as many points as they scored. You can never win like that. They're playing defense now. I think they're giving up like 97 points a game. They're scoring a whole lot more than that, which means they're going to win a lot, right? The Atlanta Hawks are seriously in contention for the title on the basis that they can stop people. That's it. Anybody can score, but can you stop them? That's why the Clippers don't ever go anywhere. They don't stop anybody. Who cares about Jamal Crawford and those crazy four-point plays? Who cares about Lob City? Stop somebody. When you stop somebody, L.A. will win a championship. Golden State will win a championship when they stop somebody in the playoff scenario. Regular season is regular season, and it's great. It puts you in the playoff seeding and everything. The Atlanta Hawks play defense, okay? Memphis plays defense. Can they score? You still have to score more than the other team, right? But Memphis, it was a grind city, their moniker or whatnot. Atlanta Hawks can do both, and I think that's what separates them. They have the best shooter in the NBA in Kyle Korver. I know they threw up that stat with Redick, but Redick has had to shoot a whole lot more three-pointers than Kyle Korver has to hit 51, 52 they threw up there? I don't know. 55? Okay. Korver leads the league in three-point percentage. Okay. That's a big deal. You saw he already hit two tonight, right? Actually, is halftime over yet? It just reminded me. I'm going to check the chat room, too. Let's see if anybody's online. Nope. 646-652-4479 if you want to call in. Atlanta Hawks Nation, if you're listening in, you should call in. You have all these opinions about John Jenkins. I'm calling out somebody right now, saying how he should be traded or released or cut and everything. Call in and tell me why. Anyway, the Atlanta Hawks, as I said, are contenders because they play defense, but also because they love to pass the ball. They lead their league leaders, say that five times, fans, in assists, team assists. They will give up a good shot to get a great shot every single time. No holes barred. And when they don't make the only people who can beat the Atlanta Hawks are the Atlanta Hawks. If they don't make any mistakes in regards to turnovers and they don't have major lapses in defense, it's almost impossible to beat this team. They've been proving that. The Atlanta Hawks, their last 10 games, they're 9-1. Okay, they're 11-5 on the road. They're 14-3 at home. They're 5-2 in the division, 17-6 in the conference, with a .758 winning percentage. That means that every 10 games, they're winning at least 9 of them. It's pretty hard to beat a team that plays like that. Now, again, a lot of people speculate, well, it's the regular season. Just like I said before, what about the playoffs? Great playoff success over the last 7 years of making it to the playoffs 7 straight years, right? A lot of that has to do with coaching. We had a coach in Larry Drew for 2 years that you get to a point, you push the Hawks, and you can blow them out because he don't know how to use a timeout and get things together. He would just let things run on. It'd be 4-point lead, and all of a sudden be a 17-point lead all of a sudden in the second quarter, right? Bud doesn't do that. Coach Bud calls a timeout within a minute of the game starting, possibly. If he see, hey, in fact, the other night, 8 points, they were down 8-0 the other night, weren't they? In Portland, they were down 8-0 real quick, call timeout. Fix that. You have to want to teach, you have to want to win, and you have to want to make people mad to get the point across. And if you're afraid to do that, you can't be an NBA coach. You can't be dilly-dallying about it. So coaching goes a long way into why this season will be different in regards to the playoffs. The system, Larry let that ISO play out, didn't he? And even when Joe gone, he's still letting it go. He can't win like that. And Woody, even to an extent, the same. Yeah, a little bit more talent on those particular teams that Woody had, but still, at the end of the day, if Joe's going to be ISO Joe needs to be scoring 30 points a game, not 16. Sorry. All that money, I'm sorry. All that talent, I'm sorry. Production. If it don't pan out to the money, you can't. I don't care if he accepts. I don't care if he's offered it. It's a matter of you earn it then. Why should we not expect as fans for them to earn these millions of dollars? Why is it cool for Kwame Brown to make all that money over the years and not do nothing with it just for being tall? It's not cool to me. I mentioned this about Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard should be averaging 30 and 15 every freaking doggone night, and he don't. He still has not scored 23 points a game in his career. I'm sorry. There's expectations factor there. No one player can do it all himself, kind of. But you got to be able to hold your weight when you're supposed to be so talented and you're earning all the money. Whether or not you deserve it or not, you need to earn it. You need to feel that you need to earn the money, making all of that money, because you're hamstringing your team to do anything, to fix anything at that point. So you need to be compensating somewhere, right? What do you think? 646-652-4479, giving out the wrong number. Let's check and see if the Hawks-Clippers game is out of halftime. Looks like it still is, or it's about to start. Other games going on. Wow, the Lakers are beating Portland in Portland. 82-76, and Kobe is having his rest day. What do y'all think about that? Kobe getting these rest days and whatnot, playing 32 minutes a game. Seems to be working. The only problem is, I shouldn't say problem. Are they doing it on the basis of they think they're going to get to a playoff this season, or they just want to kind of carry him over to the next couple of seasons? Are they for sure they're going to keep Kobe and all that kind of stuff? Because otherwise, you know, you're kind of hoping that the Lakers are going to win a lot of games when he's not playing. I don't know. I had to throw that out there. Indiana won tonight. Washington actually beat New Orleans tonight. So those are a few scores. Again, though, I really wanted to hear from some of these Atlanta Hawks fans tonight. They missed out. Are you not entertained? And that came from the movie Gladiator, of course. That's a running joke on the Atlanta Hawks fan page right now. Hopefully they appreciate it. But looks like we're going to close the show out tonight. Hopefully all enjoyed. Hopefully you'll get to hear the next show. It'll be coming up this week. This new year, I will be getting much more regular. Unfortunately, last year I had to kind of take off a lot, even though I did a few shows. My father passed away not too long ago, so now I'm going to be kind of relaunching everything this year. So be paying attention to that. Visit my website, www.imtnworldwide.com. Also call business 706-393-8426. Have a lot coming up, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, I'm going to wish y'all a good night. I'm going to watch the second half of the Atlanta Hawks game. This is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Y'all take care.
Thank you.